Amen. Wasn't that awesome? See, if you would have missed tonight, you'd have missed that. Isn't that good? That was really good. Enjoyed that very much. So I'm glad I'm not preaching tonight because I'd be totally thrown off. Was there a schism between the Spiveys and y'all? Or? I mean, you can come to my office. We'll try to work that thing out. Y'all have never said, oh, this is weird. I'm not sure I'm in the right church. It's good to have Brother Ogdie with us tonight. Brother Ogdie started Trinity Baptist Church in Wills Point years ago, was there. Now his son's there, Jeremy. I enjoy his sons, Jeremy, Shane, and Sean. I got it all right. Look there. And Shane pastors a church out in Tyler, and it's doing really well. God's blessed that ministry. And Sean's down at Wolfbarger's church, right? There at Joshua Baptist Church. That's a great church as well. And so, like I said, I think anytime your kids are serving, it's a testament to you as well. And God's been good to him. He pastored Lakeland Baptist Church for 12 years, I believe. And then now has been in evangelism out of the big Trinity Baptist Church in Arlington. Brother Ogdie also taught me in Bible college, and that's why maybe I'm a little... No, I'm just kidding. Taught me ecclesiology and was a good professor. I appreciate the notebook was plenty thick. That's the main thing. It's that thick. And so we appreciate Brother Ogdie. Come on, Brother Ogdie, and preach for us tonight. And I told him we threw about eight. I meant seven.
Oh.
So anyway, anyway.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. Go ahead and take your Bible, turn to Ezekiel chapter number 22. And thank you, Brother Crawford. I had looked on your website to find out when your evening services were, and they're not on there. And so when I looked, it had on there Sunday school in a.m., and then up in the corner it said next services Wednesday night, May the 11th. I said, there's an excuse for me not to go to church. That's where I was going to go. And then anyhow, I started texting some people that's in your church that used to be in ours, and they said, well, yeah, we have evening services. And they wasn't sure after I said what I did. So I contacted your pastor, and, you know, anytime you get a call from another preacher, they feel like they're implying they want to preach, and he's right. No, it wasn't. We just wanted to come. We've known the Jacobies and the Biddles and Mom and a new wife of Chad and all the others, several of you, and some relatives in the church, and whether he claims this or not, we are relatives, Brother Bubba there, and we're just glad to be here tonight, And I just want to take this opportunity to be an evangelist, if that's all right tonight. I do want to say thank you again to the preacher for letting us spend time in his pulpit. I don't take that lightly. I am concerned about our nation. We ought to all be concerned about our nation. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that tonight. And before I do that, where Brother Wiggins go? Is he down front somewhere? There he is. Brother Wiggins, very proud of you and your family. And glad you're out at Norris, and glad you're here. And I think this is just fits like a glove for you. And thank God for that. Your wife losing all that weight. Are y'all getting along okay? Yeah. If she's not looking or anything. No, I'm just kidding. Look at that son down there eating it up, boy. That's funny, isn't it? Isn't that funny? You know, in the Bible it says, turn there to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You got to see this before we begin. I know when the Lord's coming. I heard that. That's Miss Tramar. She's funny. How many believe the Lord's coming back? Say amen. Well, he's on his way. He's on. What's taking him so long? Well, I want you to look at here with me. Look at verse 51, 1 Corinthians 15. You know where we're headed. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be chained. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last, what's that word? In November, when Trump puts his hand on the Bible and raised like that, we're out of here. Didn't say when the last trumpet, it said when the last trump. And let's hope to God he's the last trump, amen? I'm voting for Bernie Sanders, by the way. You said, no way. I don't know who to vote for right now. I really don't. I'm hoping Jesus comes back the day before he puts his hand on the Bible and commits blasphemy. Amen. Well, amen. Ezekiel chapter 22, very familiar passage of Scripture here. In verse number 23, the Bible said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed, or rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls, they have taken the treasure and precious things, they have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law, the preachers. They have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean. They have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and destroy souls to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. If I could spend the next half hour telling you about some of the movements on the face of planet Earth that call themselves churches, we'd be here for a while. And be talking about these very same folks that was happening in this day is happening in our day. They're all over your television. I said they're all over your television. There's so many false prophets and preachers out there today, it's unbelievable. But then there is the good preachers that many of them are falling by the wayside. Many of them are falling into temptation and lust and sin and losing their ministries. And children of God are being, if you will, caught up in that. And so are the people of God here. And he says in verse number 29, the people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. I want to preach on this subject, no stand, no land. Ladies and gentlemen, we have got to make a stand in this year, much like before, but even more so in this year in many, many ways. Spiritually, no doubt, but we have got to make a stand politically as well. And we have to be real careful how we pray. We have to be real careful how we go in and fill in the little blank, darken it in or hit the button or whatever we do. We got to be really, really prayed up before we get there. Now look, I'm looking for the Lord to come, but while He's not here yet, I want my nation to be my nation. I don't want my nation to be run by outside nations, if you will, and determining what direction our nation go. You young people ought not want that. You ought to want what we used to have, and I don't think we'll return to it completely, but we can get a lot of it back if we will take a stand spiritually. And I think that's what the Lord was wanting His people to do here in this passage. Let's pray and ask God to bless us tonight. Father, we love You. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity to preach tonight. Lord, this is not just another time to preach. This is important to me. It's important to You, and I know it's important to the people of God. So help me to be clear and precise with Your Word, with truth tonight. Help it just to get us to thinking tonight, Lord, if You will. And if we need to make some changes, help us to make them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Ezekiel, a prophet of God, and one who was, if you will, mentored by Jeremiah, they were prophets during the time of what you and I refer to as the exile in that day. Jeremiah, a prophet for years before God called Ezekiel, was a prophet of warning of God. Jeremiah, a prophet of warning of God's judgment. The judgment that was to come when none of God's people paid the prophet and God much attention in that day. They didn't hear Him. He's known as a weeping prophet. There's a reason for that. And today we've got the same thing, preacher. I don't know about your church, but a lot of churches are in this way today. We've heard it all. We've heard every message preached. We've heard it said over and over again. And I preached a message a few years before I left Lakeland on they just don't get it. And sometimes we don't. That's why the preacher keeps preaching over and over, same subject matters, if you will. Ezekiel, even though continuing with that same message of Jeremiah, also prophesied repentance. But he also prophesied rebuilding and restoration of Israel and the temple. Future hope, if you will. I still believe there's a future for the United States of America and for the church. But it wasn't until God's sentence of the consequences, if you will, of the nation's sins were carried out. So much comes to mind here of that 70 plus years of captivity to the Babylonians and the blight surrounding it all in that day that we can't cover it. Ezekiel the prophet here, his name meant strengthened by God. And boy, do we need God's strength today. I know when I climb in a pulpit, I know I can't do it without God. I don't want to do it without God. I want God's power. I want God's presence. I want God's results. Amen. But strengthened by God, he stood and prophesied when most were not listening, much like today in which we live. When the man of God stands in God's appointed gap for this age in which we live. And I believe that gap today is the pulpit as well. And we need to listen to what the man of God has for us. We need to listen to what our Sunday school teachers have for us when they study and bring a lesson to us. In Ezekiel chapter 22, the prophet lists the great sins of the people. The two main groups he addresses were the prophets and priests and the princes. So he's dealing with the men of God, and he's dealing with the political leaders in his day. I want you to look down at verse 25 again. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken, maybe you'd say they saved souls, or got souls saved. They devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious thing. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law. Look down at verse 1. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood, destroy souls. Ladies and gentlemen, look up here. I don't know about you, but I don't trust any politician today. I'm getting to where I don't know that I trust all preachers today, including myself. And that's something we ought to be concerned about today. And you and I can help make the difference, if you will. And that's what he was asking people of God in here to do tonight. The sin had gotten so bad and the leaders had become so corrupt here that God began to seek out a man, a person who would step in and fill the gap. You've heard messages on this before. To fill in the breach, if you will, of righteousness. To fill the breakdown wall of God's holiness today, which is not seen very often anymore. The Bible said, sadly, he found none. What about today? What about tonight? God has always sought out a people just like you and I to carry out and carry on the work of God. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, from the age of the law to the age of the grace in which you and I are blessed to be living in today. From the Old Testament to the New Testament. For over 2,000 years since the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he is still seeking for a man to stand in the gap. However, there have been times where only a few, or even one, or a small minority like Israel would even be obedient for a while to fill in that gap. When I think about filling that gap, I think of Enoch of old. Enoch of old who walked with God, and you know the story. The Bible says he walked with God. He was not, for God took him. And as Paul reminded us in Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And was not found because God had translated him. For before his translating, he had this testimony that he what? Pleased God. You know what Enoch was doing? He was filling the gap. When you please God, you're filling the gap. When you obey God, you're filling the gap. When you tithe, you're filling the gap. That's for the preacher right there. Amen. Filling the gap. Jude tells us in verse 14 and 15, that little letter, it said, Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed. Sound like a fundamental Baptist preacher right there, doesn't it? And all their heart speeches, which ungodly sinners had spoken against him. You know what was going? Enoch was standing in the gap in his day. I believe you and I could agree that Noah was standing in the gap for a while. Noah who obeyed God and built that big old boat they can't find anywhere, amen? They say they found it. They don't know they found it. I know God knows where it's at. I know it accomplished exactly what God wanted it to accomplish. And amazing that the only ones God owned there were family. See, we ought to be concerned, men and women, about our family, moms, dads, grandmothers, grandfathers. We need to be, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but we need to be concerned about our families. I believe you and I would agree Moses stood in the gap. Oh, that's a great story. I'm going back to Branson this year. Don't tell some of my Fundamental Baptist brethren, they think I'm wicked if I go back there. But I'm going. I'm thinking about going to see Mickey Gilley too. Amen? No, I'm not. But I am going to see Moses. They got him there to sight and sound, and I'm going. I'm going to enjoy that big area, that big thing, see what they, how they, I'm going to see how they split the waters. Amen. I bet they show a picture of, what is it, what is that guy's name, Miss Odney? What? Cecil B., whatever his name is. That big film on Moses. You remember the Ten Commandments? I bet they showed that. You can't get any better than that. But I believe Moses stood in the gap for the children of Israel. I believe Abraham stood in the gap as he pleaded with God for 10 righteous people. He got down to 10 righteous people to be found in Sodom so that God might spare Sodom. We all know that didn't happen, but not for lack of him standing in the gap. I know some preachers say if he'd have just prayed one more time for 9 or 8 or 7 or whatever, God would have delivered them. I don't know about that. I know it stopped right there. You know, God knew what was going to happen. Queen Esther, ladies, get you in on this, amen? Queen Esther stood in the gap, did she not? At the risk of her own life, she stood between her people and Haman's plot to destroy all of Israel, every Jew. And she said, and I quote, "If I perish, I perish," as she stood in the gap for the people of God. Israel needs people to stand in the gap for them today. And I sounded like Trump then, didn't I? Paul wrote to Timothy these words of another man who stood in the gap for every one of us here tonight. 1 Timothy 2:5-6. Remember them? "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." I testify tonight that he stood in the gap for me. He stood in the gap for you. He stood in the gap for every lost soul in this world tonight. The Lord Jesus hung between God and man on the cross of Calvary, filling the gap for every lost soul in the world. And it's still true today. I want you and I to look at a few things this evening that would apply to every one of us individually and all of us corporately as a local church. I'm a local church man. I believe in the local church. I believe that's God's institution. I know he died for sinners, but the Bible said in Acts 20:28, he also shed his blood for the church. It's his institution. It's ours. Let me share these things with you. Maybe it'll help you as it helped me as I thought about what's going on in our nation today. Our nation's changing hourly. Used to be daily or weekly or monthly or annually, but it's changing hourly, if you will. And I want you to see some things here. Look at verse 30 again, and we'll give you a few points here and be done. It says, "I sought for a man among them." And by the way, I use Esther. There were other ladies that God used in the Bible, and he'll use a lady today. If we can get a lady, and it ain't Hillary. Don't get scared there, okay? But if he can use a woman to stand in the gap, go for it. You mothers, happy Mother's Day. You've stood in the gap, getting ahead of myself here, but you've stood in the gap for your family. You've stood in the gap for your children. And you're still standing there. You grandmothers are still standing there for your older kids and their grandkids. I know my wife and I are for ours, and I know you are too. But I want you to look at here at God's plea in that verse. God's plea. And I trust that you understand, ladies, that hadn't said a lot about ladies there, but boy, mamas are really dear to me. My mom's gone. Your mom just passed. I did my mom's funeral, and every relative in my family, I've done their funerals, and it's not a light thing, but I know mom's in heaven today. I know my dad's in heaven. I get to see him one day, and I look forward to that day, but we're not there yet. God's plea was simple, but God's plea was sound. God's plea was one that you and I need to understand and take to heart tonight. And there's many scriptures, and we'll see a few of them in a moment, but many scriptures we could go to that are parallel to this, even in the New Testament. God's plan has always been the man first. However, we know there are the women who have stood in the gap through the years. Ian Bounds said this, and I quote, "Men look for better methods. God's looking for better men." And when you think about better men, there is none good, no, not one. So we know it's got to be a saved, born-again child of God. But even more than that, it's got to be a holy child of God. It's got to be a holy man, young or old. It's got to be a holy woman, young or old, that helps to fill the gap. That's the one God uses. I like what D.L. Moody said to his two boys right before he died. He said to his sons if he died, he said, "Man can do big things for God if he just remember this one thing. It's not brains God's looking for, it's the heart." It's the heart. Ever since you got saved, with the heart man believeth unto. Every decision you've ever made is a heart matter with God and a heart matter with yourself. God's got some brains, or what they think are brains, running for office, but they don't have heart. It takes heart to fill the gap for God. And I tell you, God's still looking down from above for a man tonight, for a woman, for a young man, for a young lady. God's looking up and down the pews of this church tonight and any other church it might be preached in, seeking for that man, that woman, to get up and stand in the gap. The apostles stood in the gap before us, except for Judas, of course. Peter stood in the gap when most needed, after he settled that love question in John chapter 21. There on the banks of the Sea of Galilee with the Lord Jesus, things got a lot better, did they not? In fact, I just marked, I love it. Go over at John 21. We'll be back in a moment. But look at John 21. Preacher, I know you've seen this and preached it, but I love it every time I even think about it. I have to go to it. How many understand Peter just like you and I? You've been taught that. He was up. He was down. He denied the Lord. He did things he shouldn't do. You get in the first part of John chapter 21. He's fishing. He'd gone back to his old way of life. He's on the boat with seven other disciples. Are y'all listening? He had taken and influenced them, and here they are back on the boat and standing on the shore is the Lord Jesus cooking some fish and some bread up there. Y'all with me? They come aboard. They eat with him. He sets them down and dines with him, and he goes to Simon Peter. He said, Simon, son of Joe, he said, lovest thou me? Look at verse number 15. So when they had dined, Simon, son of Joe, lovest thou me more than thee? He said to them, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He does it again. Verse 17, saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said to him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. I learned this years ago, and it just got a hold of my heart, and I found out every preacher's ever preaching got a hold of it before I did. That happens. But isn't it amazing every time he asked him if he loved him, he gave him a work assignment? Think about that. You really love me? And feed my sheep, feed my lamb, feed my... In other words, go to work. Go to work doing what I called you to do. He said, I called you to stand in the gap for lost men and women. He said, I called you to be fishers of men, not fishers of fish anymore. And what were they doing? Back fishing. But that's not the big part here, preacher. Look at verse 14. If you don't have it underlined, do it. This is now the... What's the next two words? Third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he'd risen from the dead. Look up here. Come on now. You say, well, that wouldn't be me if I'd have been there and I'd seen the Lord risen from the dead and he taught me. The first time he taught me, I'd do everything he said to do. Baloney. You don't even do what your preacher tells you to do. Third time that the Lord showed up to these men, three times standing in front of them telling them the same thing over and over again. What was the difference in Peter's life? It was that love factor. The Bible said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind. Then it said, Luke, strength and mind. You go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, I believe it is, 6 or 8, whatever it is. It's in there too. It's all over the Bible. God is love. We love him because he first loved us. Peter got the love question taken care of. That took care of the work question. And by the way, how'd that turn out? Day of Pentecost, I believe, came after that. They went to Jerusalem like they were told to do. They prayed. They chose Matthias. Then it went on to preach. Y'all remember that? That was the day of what? Pentecost. How many were saved that day? About. I like that. He leaves that open for preachers. About 3,000. Then he said they were baptized. Y'all believe that story? They had a long day in the next two or three days, didn't they? You go in there, you'll find out 500 more were saved, then 5,000 more were saved, then priests were saved, Jews were saved. Worked out pretty well when you got the love question. What did he do? He stood in the gap. And by the way, best I can tell, he stood there until we get the Bible, and he was still standing there. By the way, where are you standing tonight? Where are you standing? God's looking for a man tonight. He realized there's Peter's in here. There's others in here. Hopefully there's not a Judas in here, but he's looking for Peter. He was given the church by the Lord Jesus, and great things happened under the church. What did he do? Jesus put out a plea. What happened? Peter stood in the gap. What happened? God's will was carried out. God's plea is for you and I to stand in that gap, especially in the day of uncertainty where there's persecution, death, and the brief time that we have left before His coming, we need to stand in the gap for Him. When Israel murmured against Moses, God told Moses in Numbers chapter 16 this, "Get you up from among the congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment." And they fell upon their faces. And the plague upon the people of God had begun. Moses told Aaron to go into the midst of the congregation and make an atonement for the people. The Bible says he stood between the dead and the living. And the plague was stayed. You and I have got to stand between the dead and the living. We got to stand between the lost soul on their way to death and hell forever and the living. Aren't you glad you're saved? Say amen. You realize God didn't have to save your old wretched soul, but He did. You realize that Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." I'm going to enjoy my Christian life. You said, "Well, you think you're perfect." No, I'm far from perfect. As my wife, she's been married to me 45 years. She knows. Just ask me about her and I'll tell you that too. I only tell you that story because God wants us to step up. He wants us to stand between the dead and the living today. Let me just give you these few thoughts here. I got a couple more points and I'll finish right on time, but listen to me. We need to stand in the gap as soul winners and for souls. You hear me? A lot of preachers are out there, and I'm not passing judgment on anybody. People do it differently. As long as you're reaching out, and not just to the lost people overseas, but the lost people in your neighborhoods and on your streets, right here at home. Are y'all with me? And who can better reach old people than old people reaching old people? My wife and I ran into the senior deacon of First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana, Ben Branson, one night. We was over there at Soji's. And don't get on me, but I like that violin player guy from Japan. I enjoyed that. And my wife's never met a stranger in her life, so what does she do? She talks to the lady next to her. And I'm going, you know, like, we don't need to know these people. But she talking to her and gets to talking to her, and the guy leaned over and said, "Hi, my name is so-and-so," and I won't call his name. And he said, I'm senior deacon there at First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana. And he goes on and tells me the story about finding the phone and all the other stuff, and I don't want to get into all that. But we old people, what I'm getting to, we sat there till 2:30. We went over at 10:30 at IHOP, sat till 2:30 in the morning like we were young people. What are you saying? Old people reach old people. And senior saint, we ain't dead yet. We can still stand in the gap for souls. We can stand in the gap for the younger men. Ladies, you older ladies can stand in the gap for the younger women. I can prove that from Scripture and the book of Titus, other places. You can just find all kinds of things where you and I are to stand in the gap for the younger generation. I remember when I first met Brother Wiggins. If I recall, y'all weren't married yet. Is that correct? Y'all were waiting to get married before you come off to college or something like that. Do y'all remember? You're married then. Okay, anyways, I just know it was ways back. And, you know, the young people, that church, you know, how that happened with your pastor, because he was getting older, but there were a lot of young preachers that came out of that church. A lot of young preachers and preachers' wives, and they're all doing really well now over the United States of America. Why? They chose to stand in the gap as young people. Young people reach young people. Young adults reach young adults. So stand in the gap as soul winners, for souls. Let's stand in the gap between heaven and hell for them. We need to stand in the gap for the saints of God who need encouragement. I like to encourage people. I do. And somebody said, "Well, you preach too hard sometimes." Well, you know what? If I can get people right with God, or God can get them right through the preaching that He gives to me, then that will get them where they need to be. We need to stand in the gap for the saints of God. They need to be encouraged. My life's verse is not preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in walk, you which are spiritual. You remember that scripture? Then he said in verse 2, "Bear you one another's burden, so fulfill the law of Christ." That's what we ought to be doing with one another. We ought to be loving one another. That's how they'll know we are as disciples. If we have love one toward another, there's no room for bitterness, no room for griping, no room. You know what I'm talking about? It's only room for standing in the gap for each other. We need to stand in the gap with prayers. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. I'm getting ahead of myself here, but I want you, and I'll come back to that in a moment. We need a standing gap for our church. Standing the gap for the local church. Standing gap for those things it stands for in our nation. Do not be ashamed of being a Baptist. Do not be ashamed of being an independent Baptist. Do not be ashamed of your King James Bible. Do not be ashamed of that. Don't be ashamed. Be ashamed of the devil, man. Get rid of him. We need to stand between good and evil. We need to vote right in November or early voting, whatever you do. We need to vote. We need not. Don't vote pocketbook again, please. Now, if you're going to vote pocketbook, you need to vote for Bernie Sanders because he's going to give you everything you want. Ask people in Russia how that turned out for them. We need to stand between instruction in righteousness versus ignorance in political rhetoric of our times. Between intercession and indifference. Folks, this is where God desired for me and for you and I to stand together in the gap, standing in the gap for Him. Christians who will make themselves available individually and on purpose for God, God will use. I don't know about you, but I do know this. Teachers, Sunday school teachers need to stand in the gap for their class. Bus drivers need to stand in the gap for their bus. Bus workers need to stand in the gap for those kids. Do you understand how many churches without passing judgment, preacher, there's nobody picking kids up anymore. They don't use van. They don't invite them to come. They don't haul them in their vehicles. They don't have a bus sometime. Listen, every church is different. Some churches don't need it or whatever, but we don't need to just neglect them anymore. Went to my home church this morning here in Arlington, and there's a man, and how he got a license, I don't know, because he's 70-year-old, but they gave him one. I guess you can still get him. He's in that just happy as a lark, man, all in kids screaming. He does the driving like this. I think he had earplugs in, but he was driving. You know what he was doing? Standing in the gap. I'm 65, less than 2 months. I've been awakened the last 2 months. I've sat in the Social Security office. My wife said we started out together in the spring of our life. Moved into the summer of our life. Then the fall of our life. We are now in the winter time. Which means it's getting close. Amen? And so I feel a little difference. I'm going to stand in the gap for myself. Against some of these people down around Social Security. Anybody ever been in the Social Security office before? Isn't it wonderful? Just so pleasant. Any veterans in here? Let me see your hand, vets. I had a doctor for 8.5 years, same doctor, and they just sent him off to Colorado, and the doctor said, I'm a floater. I said, you're a what? He said, I'm a floater. He's in between. They got my medicines all messed up. They've had my address for over almost 17 years, this new address, and they lost it, couldn't get my meds. It's a messed up system. I'm going to stand in the gap for me. Better yet, I'm going to pull my wife in. She's harder than I am. We're in the shape we're in today, not because of other countries. We're in the shape we're in today because of the sin in the United States of America. Corruption, abortion, transgender bathrooms. I say give them an outhouse out in the field somewhere. Paint it pink, purple, whatever. I believe God can save anybody. I kind of giggle at that because some of them, it had to be God. Immorality, pornography. By the way, pornography, I mention it all the time in service, and that's this. Listen to me carefully. Used to only be men that I counsel with. I don't counsel with them anymore. Thank God. That's one part of the pastorate I do not miss. But you know there are as many women involved in as there are men. I don't have time to preach on social media. I'll leave that to your preacher. I believe in it. I got it. I even got on Instagram, say amen. And I ain't figured it out yet. I posted one picture of my entire family on Miss Audie's 62nd birthday. That's all I've done. Got a lot of comments, but I'm so afraid to get on that. Facebook, forget it. I'm not getting on. I want to face God and face Christ. I want to face that book because there's so much stuff on there. And then after I heard they can bring everything up on there that's ever been on there, no matter what you try to do to get rid of it, I don't want that to happen. What if I mess up someday and it's still there? Woo, I don't want that coming up. Some of you are sitting there going, oh my God, can that happen? Yeah, it can happen. It can happen. Disobedience, covetousness. Boy, we can spend time there. A failure to stand as we are instructed to do in these days. You remember these scriptures? Ephesians 6, that finally my brethren be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, by the way, the evil day is right now. And having done all, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's standing in the gap. If you stand in the gap, you better have the whole armor of God on. Because the devil's going to come against you full force. And the world in which he pretty much is prince's power there over will come at you as well. If you haven't been watching television lately, the news, people talk about it all the time, how that Christian businesses, Christian homes, if you're against abortion, if you're against this, if you're against that, are y'all listening? They're coming after them. They're coming after them. They can mess your taxes up just for being a Christian. Take you 2 or 3 years to get them back on track. Don't look there like calf looking at a new gate. I'm telling you, it can happen. And what are you going to do? Where are you going to get the money to fight those kind of people? We need God on our side. And the way to get God on our side is to get on God's side. Stand in the gap with God so God can stand in the gap with us. And He wants to, by the way. And by the way, talking about standing reminds me of the Jews. In Isaiah 59, don't turn it for sake of time, the Bible says these words, Isaiah 59 verses 1 through 3, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. Neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you." How many believe the Bible say amen? Notice He's saying your. He said, but that's not me. Okay, that's pride. So that's your. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Even if we're saved, there's verses in there for you and I to confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. All of us have sinned since we've been born again. He said, neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid His face from you. They will not hear you. That's in your Bible. Psalm 66:18 declares, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Bible said the Lord will not hear me. Still believe it? Most of us understand that the problem we have in our nation, around the world, and in our churches, in our homes, is due to sin, both individually and corporately, and by country. If there's ever to be revival again, it must come by way of repentance in our individual lives, period. You're not going to get it through the world. You're not going to get it through the devil's crowd. You're not going to get it through the Bernie Sanders crowd unless they are born again and just been moved off the right path. But standing in the gap, even when others choose not to do so. How many believe God still wants to bring revival? I do. Personally do. That's why God, my wife and I prayed for 2 years before we ever left these good folks that came to you over here. And it was as much a surprise to them as it really was to me and Miss Audie, but we didn't do this lightly. We prayed for 2 years. You say, you're just sick and tired of Lakeland, that too. But I got news for you. Lakeland's a different church than what you had to mess with and what I had to mess with. And Brother York's doing a great job over there right now, and I'm so happy for him. By the way, the other two men that candidated for that church in good faith are both packing their churches out. Brother Richard Way in Houma, Louisiana. Brother Jason Wofford out at Silver Spring, North Carolina, packing them out there. Unbelievable. God knows what He was doing. Just a personal note. But I want you to understand, I believe revival is coming. Here's how it's going to come. You told me you believe the Bible. And listen to me carefully. I'm going to read it to you. 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know it. You should know it by heart. Bible said, "And my people which are called by my name," remember that? "Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven." Well, I want God to hear, don't you? "Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin." Don't miss this. "And will heal their land." Whew. If we want God to heal America, there's two ways of doing it. This is number one. Number two is you better bless Israel. You better pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the psalmist tells us. You better stand. I cannot. I'm counting the days, even the hours and the minutes, till the president we have today is out of office and somebody gets in there that means what they said and says what they mean when it comes to taking care of the nation of Israel. Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 15. If we bless them, God will bless us. And we have been the only nation to stand with them in every area until this administration. God's purpose is for me, for you, for all of Christendom to step up and stand in the gap. God's looking for people who are faithful no matter which way the winds of this world go, regardless of the winds of change in our nation and in this world. God's looking for dependable, faithful people. People who have repented their sins, who are yielded to Him, surrendered, sold out, servants for Him to be able to use. People who are faithful to the house of God, to His church. People who would teach a Sunday school class, run a bus ministry, drive a bus, be a helper, be a soul winner, a servant with a servant's heart, no matter what the task may be. People who have a vision of what God wants to do in His church, in your life, in your family, in our city, in our land. I'm talking about people who love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. It'll take people like this, like you and I, to fill that gap, make up the hedge of protection that will not only, listen, that will be not only people who have repented, but for all of God's people who are grateful to God. You're looking at a man grateful to God. Everything He's done in my life. I think sometimes we get so used to church, we just take it for granted. We take for granted each other. We take for granted our family. We take for granted our children. We take for granted our parents. We take for granted our pastor and his family. We take for granted this, take for granted that. And you and I need to get on our face before God and say, God, don't let me ever take anything for granted again. I like what Paul said. I thank Christ Jesus, my Lord, who hath counted me faith. Remember that? He went on to say, putting me into the ministry. And he went on and reminded himself, and that's something you and I need to do. This is why I'm grateful. He said, who was once a blasphemer, who was once injurious. Look up here. Do you understand that Saul, who became Paul, is no better than an ISIS member today? Do you know he put Christians to death? He put them in prison. He fed them to ravenous beasts. He was going after others the day that God saved him on that road to Damascus. God can save a terrorist. He can save a transgender person. Only He, but He can. We cannot quit thinking that way and believing that way. God's looking for that one man, that one woman, that one teenager, that one senior adult or a man or woman that'll determine this hour that they are the one. Maybe for your age group, but you're the one. God, I'll stand in the gap. I'll make up the hedge. I'll stand in the gap for life and eternal life. Well, we've got to hurry. We've seen God's plea. I'm just going to give this to you. We've seen God's purpose. That's for us to go to work. Number three, we see God's promise. That's not hard to see. He said, either you stand in the gap or it's gone. No stand, no land. And by the way, we read a moment ago in verse 30, he found none and he destroyed. If you read the next chapter, he destroyed the land, ladies and gentlemen. Anybody remember September the 11th, 2001? I thought we weren't going to forget that. The first time America's ever been invaded since Pearl Harbor. Are y'all listening? And I believe, you can believe what you want, but I believe God spoke to my heart even then, and even today stronger, that God just kind of lifted His hands a little bit off of America. Had He taken them completely off, we'd have been consumed. I know there's a lot of conspiracy going on, ladies and gentlemen, but you hear me and hear me well. There's some things on the horizon. We better stand in the gap now if we want to keep this land the way it is. He told us if we blessed Israel, He'd make us a great nation. You and I all need God's love, mercy, love, grace. Thank God for His long suffering. The Bible said the wicked shall be turned into hell. Watch it now. And all nations that forget God. But He did say in Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom He hath chosen for His inheritance. You know, God's given His promise. I love our promise. There's so many of them, but this one is the one I love. And every one of you memorized it. Let not your hearts be troubled. You know, Hannity used that on his show. Hannity's Catholic. He had no idea what it meant. But there on that show, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And that's what He's doing today. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. I want you to know I'm looking for the also. Like what Dr. Raymond Barber used to tell us all of us young preacher boys, I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the upper taker, amen. God's plea, God's plan, God's promises are yea and are amen. Lastly, we hear and see God's poured out indignation. If you think that September the 11, 2001 was bad, I'm telling you it could be worse. Not only do we need the right man in the office, but hear me, if we'll get right and get in the gap before then, if we'll stand in the gap before then, preacher, I believe God will get a hold of that. He can start that right here in your church. I'm not so sure. I thought about even running some poster boards of my own, just talking about standing in the gap, just to get people to ask what that meant, you know. Get O'Reilly to put me on his show, where the spin stops here. I'll show him where the spin stops. Yeah. Amen. We went to New York. I got to throw this in. We went to New York here a while back, and my wife always wanted to go there, and we did a wedding. Went to a wedding there, and didn't do it. Went to a wedding in Pennsylvania. Stayed in the Pocono. Went into New Jersey. I won't do that again. But went into New York. And while I was in New York, I went into Fox News. I said, I'm here to see Bill O'Reilly. I have an appointment. And they said, no, you don't. I guess I looked as stupid as they thought I looked. But I tried. I tried. Just wasn't the right story, I guess. I want to ask you this, and I'm done. Would you be the one to help save our land by making up the hedge, by standing in the gap before God? Maybe it's personal sin you need to deal with to be able to stand in that gap. Maybe it's salvation because you've never been saved. You died right now. You don't know you'd go to heaven. You can't stand in the gap until you know Jesus as your Savior. Maybe it's standing in the gap in a place of service in the church. Been sitting a long time. Get busy. Maybe it's standing in the gap as a preacher, you and I, pastor, missionary, evangelist. Maybe some of you young people need to stand in the gap by surrendering your life. Some of you already have. We have 9 grandchildren. 4 of them have surrendered full-time service already. All 9 of them are saved by the grace of God. All my kids are serving God today. My daughter-in-laws love the Lord, and I say that today because it could change tomorrow. I know that. But I sure am grateful today. You know what Carl Ogden and Elizabeth thought you're going to do? We're going to do our best to stand in the gap for them. And stand in the gap for our local church that we're out of. Stand in the gap, hear me, for God in every area. I'll never forget when God called me to preach, I went to the altar. As I got down the altar, my wife, we'd already been taught about some things. She already come down and knelt. Kind of like the story of Bob Smith's, but it's not. She come down, knelt, and that was it. Stood in the gap together. And when that happened, it changed everything. A new creature in Christ Jesus. All the old things were passed away. Behold, here come all the new. And it's been good ever since. Are you ready to meet Jesus tonight? If he were to come back right now, and he could, oh, I know you've heard that a million times in your Christian life if you've been saved long, but he very well could. I'm thinking he's coming on Wednesday night, and he'll sit up here on the platform until the rest of you get here. And so, well, how do you know that? Because I pastored 30 years. I know. But he's coming back. When he comes back, I want to be standing in the gap where I can stand. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29 says, I don't want to be found before him, ashamed before him at his coming. Do you understand you can be? And then we've got that bema seat, that judgment seat, where we have to stand before him, give an account of everything we have done, both good and or bad, in this body for the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, we need every child of God to stand in the gap today. Because I got news for you. The devil's standing in all the gaps. He's even going to our bathrooms today. I'm telling you the truth. They're killing our unborn babies. Are y'all listening?
Right.
Used to be a time where we'd cover the streets with placards. Hand out brochures and information to help that one young lady. We don't even see that much anymore. We got to get back to standing in the gap, or we're going to lose this nation, and we're going to become like some of the European nations, and we're going to be in a mess. But it doesn't have to be that way. Stand in the gap. If we don't stand, we cannot claim our land. No stand, no land. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Stand in the gap. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of preaching tonight. Lord, you know I have a burden for our country. As a child of God, as a veteran, as a citizen, Lord, as a husband, as a father, as a grandfather, as a friend to some of my friends, and Lord, for those that you sent me to, it'd be a good night if God's people just hit an old-fashioned altar. But Lord, we all know that altar has to begin in the heart. And when we get to the altar of the heart, it'll bring us to the altar of our knees before an old-fashioned altar where we could do business with you. Now, Father, bless tonight your people. If there be one amongst us tonight, Lord, that does not know Christ, they're saved. They don't know if they died, they'd go to heaven. Save them tonight. Save them tonight. Now, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, some are at the altar. Musicians will be playing in just a moment. I want to get a count here tonight real quick. How many in here tonight can say with an uplifted hand, I'm saved and I know it, no doubt about it. If I die right now, I know I'd go to heaven. Slip your hand up if you know that. God bless you. Put them down. Christian, let me say something to you. I don't know that I'd wait on music, but if that's what you're waiting on, that's fine. We're going to stand in just a moment. But you ought to hit the altar. If you don't need to hit the altar for any reason, I told my people for years, you need to come to the altar for two reasons. Number one, because you need to. Number one, because you don't think you need to. An altar is where we can just give glory to God and give praise to God and thank God for what He's done in our lives over and over. And then another question. How many here tonight could not raise their hand and say, Preacher, you'd say, Preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. I just don't know. I don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I want to know. I'll not embarrass you. Nobody's going to come get you out of your chair. You just let me pray for you. I want you to do me a favor. Would you just slip your hand up, slip it right up and say, Preacher, I don't know I'm saved. Pray for me and put it right back down. Slip it up where I can see it. Make sure I can see it. Anybody, anybody, anybody. Everybody's saved in here. Father in heaven, bless as only you can. We pray in Jesus' name. Let's all stand. Everybody standing? Preacher, you come take your pulpit. The musician begins to play and singer begins to sing. And if God's led you to come, these have already come and gone, you come right now.